heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. So glad you've joined us again. Thank you for listening. I'm Patrick Conley, grateful to be your host as we continue to seek to encourage and inspire by looking at some of the many things the Lord is doing in our midst here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. So how are you doing in terms of humility? I ask because humility is the focus of Jesus' teaching in our gospel lesson for this, the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. So again, I ask, how are you doing in terms of humility? And here's the irony, of course. If you answer, oh, I'm doing okay, or I'm doing well with humility, well, you're probably likely not. In most cases, there is a direct link between a poverty of spirit and humility. When you truly understand and acknowledge before God, others, and ourselves that our humility has not yet been perfected, then we openly acknowledge the poverty of our own spirit, that we cannot do it on our own, but we desperately need the Lord's work. To surrender to him, we need to overcome ourselves. But at the same time, we need to make sure not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let me here invoke a great definition of humility that I heard from Father James Kubicki, known to many of you for his two-minute prayer reflections here on Relevant Radio. Father Kubicki defined humility like this. He said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I really like that, and obviously it's stuck with me. Another great tool in the humility belt is the Litany of Humility, which I know many practicing Catholics are familiar with. It's a great prayer that simultaneously reminds me what the truly valuable things to pursue are, and it points me to seeking the good of others above myself, which is a sentiment conveyed by St. Paul in the ancient Christ hymn of Philippians 2. And it corresponds, by the way, directly to St. Thomas Aquinas' definition of agape, of that holy divine love, which is willing the good of the other as other. And all of this is just why humility. Now, I mean true humility, not self-degradation, but a humility that acknowledges all the good things that God has given us in the person of who we are. But this true humility is the soul of love. It does the hard work of turning our usual self-focus outward. Now just think about this. What would it be like if every need or even healthy desire that I recognize in myself, what if I recognized them equally as potently in others? And then, what if I did whatever it was that God called and equipped me to do to address those needs? I do believe that we can train ourselves to be more attentive to the needs and desires of others, and I believe that Jesus gives us a good idea about where to start in this Sunday's gospel. To be wary of earthly honor. Don't take up positions of honor in society, he says, and don't unduly privilege those who are honored by society. The honor is the food of pride, while self-gift is what sustains humility. So this week, let's be wary of earthly honor, and let's seek humility before the Lord. Let's think of ourselves less. Let's pray the Litany of Humility, and let's give generously of ourselves, for therein lies our perfection and indeed our happiness. Kicking things off on the show this week, we are blessed to be in an archdiocese with numerous apostolates and Catholic initiatives headquartered right here in our backyard. A stellar example is St. Paul's Outreach, which builds missional community on college campuses and beyond. Regional Director Peter DeMaray is here to tell us just how they do that in just a moment. Next, making friends as young adults can be tough, but it's so foundationally important. Important enough that we wanted to re-air an interview with Catholic Beer Club co-coordinators Tim Cahill and Nestor Argueo. They'll share about how making friends with other young adults doesn't have to be quite so difficult. And speaking of friends, where's one place you can go to catch up with old friends, make some new ones, and support Relevant Radio and local Catholic schools? That's right. The Relevant Radio Christ Brings Hope Banquet. It's just around the corner. Sharing with us about this exciting event is Father Rocky himself, along with our friend Karen Freihammer. That's all coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, giving the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you still clinging on to these last few days of summer sunshine, or perhaps you're ready for the crisp fall weather and all the new starts that come with it? With the start of the school year happening soon, our friends at St. Paul's Outreach are going to catch us up on how they're serving college students at a campus near you. Joining us today is Peter DeMaray, Regional Director for SPO. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, let's talk about the mission of St. Paul's Outreach. A quick glance at your website, it seems to be summed up in reach, call, form, and send. Can you tell us more about that, Peter?
Yeah, reach, call, form, send is the process by which we evangelize college students. So our mission is to live a deep relationship with college students, but the process of reach, call, form, send, modeled after the process of our Lord, of reaching college students, calling them into a life of Christian discipleship, and then forming those college students into mature Christians, and then sending them back out and onto college campuses and into the world, into their lives as young adults, on mission to proclaim the gospel.
Mm. Very good. And this is done in a variety of ways. I know there's a number of different types of initiatives that SPO does. Can you give us an example of a few of those? I mean, what is the way in which you go about fulfilling your mission?
Well, our mission is centered in our household programs. We find that living the Christian life is a daily thing. It's something that should encompass every aspect of our lives. And so our mission is really centered in a living situation, a household, men and women living the gospel in every aspect of their lives, liturgy of the hours and praying together, having their house be open to mission and to inviting other young adults into their lives, having meals together, really restoring every aspect of their lives to be centered around the Lord and around relationships with one another.
Mm. I love the idea of students living together in that way, that there are just some untold ways that you can really gain keen insight into the human relationship in general first, but of course into each individual as well. It just opens up as you're living together, you're dining together, you're having day-to-day life together, you really gain this key insight. And like you said, it's not wholly unlike the mission that Jesus himself came and fulfilled, right? When gathering disciples to himself, right?
That's right. Yeah. And as we see culture and a road around us, it's important for us to establish these things, these kind of more fundamental things in our lives, in order to restore. We say the art of living, that there's a certain art to living, to resting, to relating, to praying well. That when done well is a beautiful expression of our lives. And we don't see that oftentimes in the lives of college students and young adults. They're not living fully the life that the Lord has called them to.
Mm. That's a good point, and I appreciate that. I can appreciate that. I was involved before my conversion to Catholicism. I was involved with an ecumenical, basically Protestant evangelical group on campus at the U of M, and I know what you're talking about. I have definitely seen that firsthand. So let me ask this. I know that SPO is active both on the U of M campus and at the University of St. Thomas. What are some of the ways that you see these campuses similar in and how you fulfill your mission, and are there any differences?
Well, yeah. What we see it's similar across the campuses, across the river, so to speak, is that there's a great need for evangelization on college campuses. Young people, when they head off to college, when they head off away from the home, they're assaulted with a whole variety of options, a whole variety of ways of living that really press on them and tell them certain ways to live, and it really is. They're not places of light and of hope and of joy. Oftentimes, they're places of sadness and of separation. And so the mission, no matter where you step out out of the home, the mission is the same, and it calls for us to be great witnesses and great examples, to be burning torches in the darkness. But how they're different, I mean, the population is vastly different. I mean, St. Thomas is a small, private Catholic college, and the University of Minnesota is large. I mean, you can fit the University of St. Thomas inside of Dinkytown.
That's a good point.
So we see a greater need in terms of people and just size of the ministry at the University of Minnesota, than we do across the river at St. Thomas. And then one large difference is our cooperation with the Brotherhood of Hope. We try and cooperate on every campus with whatever campus ministry is there. We do it to the depth of our kind of charism. So we believe that God has called us and anointed us in a particular way to be about the mission that he sent us out on, we want to cooperate with whatever other missions are, especially Catholic missions that are on the campus, to whatever extent we can. But there are limitations to how much we can collaborate, how much we can overlap with a lot of the groups, because for good reason, there's a great diversity in the church. The Brotherhood of Hope, who are helping to run the campus ministry at the University of Minnesota, what God has called and anointed them to do is so incredibly similar to what he's called us to do, that our mission has really become one at the University of Minnesota. And so when you walk on a campus at the University of Minnesota, there's one one mission, one campus ministry, and we are enveloped in that campus ministry as part of it.
Yeah, powerful stuff. And as I said, in my own experience at the University of Minnesota, I know that there's a tremendous amount of need there, simply, if not least of which, because of the great population of students who are there. So I see that coming in. But also, I'm grateful that you are that you have this relationship with the Brotherhood of Hope. We've had Brother Ken on the program a few times now, and he's explained to us some of the things that they do. It's encouraging to me to see you working together on that. We're speaking with Peter Desmarais, Regional Director for Minnesota and St. Paul's Outreach in Minnesota, about the ongoing campus work that's going on at the University of Minnesota and the University of St. Thomas. So I'm curious, Peter, how do you get the word out about SPO, about the Brotherhood of Hope, about Catholic programs, about your living, your living situations that you're putting together, especially at the University of Minnesota, where it's so large and it's otherwise, religiously unaffiliated. It's secular. It's a state school.
Yeah, well, we find that personal relationships are the key to getting the word out. You can post flyers all over campus and they get drowned in with the multitude of noise that college students hear. But when you encounter someone personally, if you meet them one-on-one, you look them in the eye and you invite them to something, you invite them to Mass on campus, you invite them into our homes, you invite them to a social event, to come and play sports, to do something. That's the most effective way to get the word out on college campuses. Mm-hmm. And so in order to do that, we do a few things. We train students on how to actually meet people kind of randomly, to go up and to introduce themselves to people, to strike up conversations in their classes, to be open to conversations as they walk across the quad or what have you.
Right.
And then we also provide opportunities for those invitations to land somewhere. So we host large events. We roast a giant pig and have a hog roast and invite lots of people to that, so that we can have the opportunity to meet as many people as possible, and then to invite them into that life of discipleship alongside of us. And that's where you really see that reach, call, form, send process happen in an individual's life.
Right. And when I first started attending the University of Minnesota way back in 19, right? that was a while ago now.
Yeah.
But I think some of the same things exist now as then, which is specifically, I'm confident that there are people listening right now who are either they themselves are entering, I'm thinking again, specifically the University of Minnesota for the first time as a freshman, or there are people who know people who have relatives or loved ones who are headed off to the University of Minnesota for the first time. And it can be daunting as a freshman to come to this massive university where you feel at least so in danger of being lost or swallowed up, just becoming a number, that sort of thing. So any advice, Peter, that you would give specifically to the person who's coming in, maybe who has at least an initial flickering of Catholic faith, even if it's not well developed, what should they do in order to avoid feelings of loneliness and feelings of being isolated and alone?
Yeah, I think there's a few things to do. One thing I would say is go to the place, go to the campus ministry building. Not many students do this, but go to the campus ministry building. If you walk into the St. Lawrence Catholic Newman Center over at the U, you'll find a community of people, whether it's in the daily mass or on Sunday. If you go over to the Office of Spirituality at the University of St. Thomas, if you walk in, you're going to find someone who is eager to be in relationship with you because of your identity as a son and daughter of God. So if you have that flickering, go and do that. If you're looking for more information on sort of like, oh, that seems like pretty intimidating, I don't know if I can do something like that. Both at the U and at St. Thomas, all of our events and all of the stuff is on our Instagram, our Facebook, and on our websites. They're published, so you can go to spo.org and check out all that, or look us up, St. Paul's Outreach or the Newman Center on Facebook and Instagram, and we will be posting a large number of events that you can get in touch with us on. And that would be a great way for you to kind of to introduce yourself to us and establish a relationship.
Yeah, great. And that actually leads into my final question for you, Peter, which is for those listening who are, supportive, regardless of whether they or their loved ones are in that college realm or not, whether it be at the University of St. Thomas, the University of Minnesota, or elsewhere, farther afield, what ways can we support the work of St. Paul's Outreach?
Yeah, well, I think one way is to get the word out, speak about it, tell young people, and as well as one another, just about the work that we're doing. The more that people hear about the work of evangelization on college campuses and the need for young people to come to know Jesus and the critical nature of this time in life, the better. And then, If you're blessed spiritually feel the call, pray for us. Pray for college campuses. The next month is going to be critical for the lives of some young people. They're either going to make a decision to remain faithful to the Lord. They're going to find people who they're going to spend their college years growing in relationship with, that are going to lead them towards the Lord, or they're going to lead them other places. So pray fervently for them. And then finally, if you have the means, spo.org/support, you go there and you can financially support either an individual missionary on one campus, or you can support the region as we try and support those missionaries as they go out.
Wonderful. Peter, it's been an absolute joy to speak with you this morning. We're so grateful for the work of SPO right here in the Archdiocese, and again, further afield at on different campuses as well. But grateful for your involvement, for your prayers, for your work, and we will be praying for you. God bless you, Peter. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Learn more about how and where SBO serves college students. It's not just here in Minnesota, but certainly here in Minnesota. All you need to do is check out their website at spo.org. Coming up, the importance of young adult friendships that may just include some adult beverages as well. Find out more right after this. We'll be right back. Attention, Twin Cities, you are invited to the 11th annual Christ Brings Hope Banquet to benefit Relevant Radio. Join Father Rocky, Drew Mariani, Timri Jaja, Father Simon, Glenn Leverance, and Paul Sadek on Thursday, September 15th. Sponsor a table and select your favorite local Catholic school to receive matching funds. Details and sponsorship opportunities available at the RelevantRadio.com events tab. Select Minnesota. Christ Brings Hope, September 15th. Register today.
True Christian hope is a virtue and a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not wishful thinking. Christian hope says, I know who God is, and I trust on His promises, and I act accordingly. Sometimes hope is sitting and waiting, but very often it's a choice to make yourself available to a good future. I do hope for the happiness of heaven, and I'm not just going to sit there. I know that I have to strive for holiness every moment to receive the gift that is offered to me.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. According to a 2018 Barna study, the majority of adults has anywhere between 2 and 5 close friends, but 1 in 5 regularly or often feels lonely. Those who report the highest levels of loneliness are young, single males. Most of us made friends easily as a kid, but it's harder to do as adults. Joining us now on Practicing Catholic to reflect on cultivating friendships as adults are Tim Cahill and Nestor Arguello, two of the co-coordinators of Catholic Beer Club Twin Cities. Guys, welcome to the program.
Patrick,
hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to have you both. Thank you so much. And let's start, I know we need to get around a little bit to CBC, so let's start there. Tim, why don't you remind us what Catholic Beer Club is all about?
Yeah, it's all in the name. We're about building friendships, community, and appreciation for good beer, the emphasis on the good beer side of it. getting people connected, either with, if they're new to their community, new to the Twin Cities, new to their faith, whatever that is, or if they're just kind of looking to expand, or getting to see old friends. COVID has really kind of killed the in-person community, and so this is actually a perfect opportunity for people to get back out, see people in person, and have a pint or two, or as many as they choose.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. And Nestor, you're fairly new to the rank of co-coordinator, are you not?
That's right. And one thing that Tim failed to mention is that if it's your first meeting, he will buy your beer for you.
Oh, really?
Well, that is not true at all.
All right, then. I was getting excited, but all right. Well, anyway, still probably well worth checking out. We'll circle back around to Catholic Beer Club here in a moment, but wanted to talk a little bit about, and Tim, we'll start with you. What do you see as some of the major obstacles to young adults, perhaps, or just adults in general, making friends?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different aspects to that question. I think one could be technology, is that we spend so much time using social media. It's kind of a funny paradox that we use social media so much, but we never really engage, or we don't engage in the right ways. But that is kind of our social outlet. I think One of the bigger ones, though, is that there is such a focus on being busy, on doing, that your calendar fills up with so many different things that you don't necessarily get a chance to see people, hang out with people, get to know people. It's one thing to just kind of be there in person and just kind of physically be in the same space, but it's another to actually have time for either deeper conversation or just get to spend time kind of doing things together, that be camping, hiking, you know, whatever, kind of getting out. So I think that kind of focus on always doing, be that being on your phone or, you know, always working, always having a project, always doing something, doesn't, we don't allow time for leisure, and having friends is such a big part of leisure.
That's a great point, that the leisure factor enters into it so readily. Nestor, how about you? Any thoughts along those lines? Why is it so hard to make friends as an adult?
Yeah, I think Tim brought up some great points, but I think one of them especially is that a lot of the relationships people are searching for on social media, they're left wanting. I think we experience that in another way with like just mask wearing in the culture, is that inability to see the other person smile before you was so difficult. In particular for me, like I'm very visual, and I was like, man, like it's difficult for me to read this person sometimes. You start learning how to read someone's eyes more, and now having less of that is... less of the mask wearing is so good for just being able to engage with one another. And I think it was like Tim said, it was so apparent during and after the events of this last year. We saw an incredible reception of young adults when we were able to facilitate the first Catholic Beer Club event since COVID, because there's such a hunger for relationship with others. And I think sometimes people just need someone to facilitate that gathering so that they can just go and be. I think that initial like intentionality of how to put something together or meet others can seem daunting, but there's a way in which these events just help that come together in a very fluid way.
Mm-hmm. Now, both of you guys, I know, are married, and Tim, you've got some children as well in the mix. But as I'm looking at the hobbies that you both have, Tim, you listed biking, climbing, checking out new breweries, board games, and Nestor, I have here for you soccer, Latin dancing, volleyball, traveling, cooking, watching The Office. I mean, lots of great ways that could be good social platforms in which to meet and form and cultivate friendships as well. Do you find that that's something that those types of things, that are finding similar hobbies, is that something that you would seek out, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that is actually a really interesting. We kind of talked about it a little bit. One of the things that's really interesting is that when you finally get out and go do something, you may not know people right off the bat, but once you kind of take that leap, it's so easy to connect with people, especially as you're doing an activity. If you're just sitting down and saying, all right, let's have a conversation, tell me about everything about you, that's a really hard thing to jump into. But if you're out, again, like climbing or dancing, whatever that kind of thing is, you have something to bond over, and those connections become a lot easier to do once you're out doing something. As you mentioned, both Nestor and I are married. I have two kids. And so things do get a little complicated. And so when you are trying to work around schedules and jobs and all this different stuff, but having something on the calendar and saying, hey, we're going to go do this, and it's an activity, and it's something that can kind of have a start and an end to it, is such a good way to get connected with people.
Right, right. And, Nestor, you're still a newlywed. You're coming up on your first anniversary here in July, as I see it. So reflect a little bit on that. Did your getting married, did that have an impact on the amount of social time that you're spending with others and building and cultivating friendships?
Sure, sure. And I think that it goes into kind of chapters of life. But in particular, it's like, yeah, super excited to be coming up on our first anniversary. But we had a COVID wedding, and as so many people that we've heard about have had, and it just changed so many of our plans. And one of the difficulties there was having to limit how many of those people that we're so close with and love were able to attend. And
sure,
we got off easy. We had an absolutely wonderful, wonderful wedding and had many people able to attend, but it was really difficult for that to happen in the course of the pandemic. And then getting married has its own, you know, shift. There's a shift in the pace. And for one, you just have that natural opportunity to spend more time together, but it forced me in particular, as someone who is not as type A, to really decide, hey, I've got to be intentional about these relationships. Like, if I want to hang out with Tim or with Wesley or different friends of ours as well, like, I've got to be more intentional because my time is not my own. Mm-hmm. I'm one with my wife, and we have to decide, hey, how are we going to use this time that we have? And so that really forced me to be more intentional about relationship. It also opened up opportunities for us to be intentional about, like Tim was saying, things that we do together. Like, they're going to have even more depth to them when you're intentional about it. So that's actually been quite a positive change for me, where I would say a lot of it was just kind of, I'll take it as it comes and this new day, and there's an excitement to that. But being very intentional about it has allowed me to go deeper into relationship as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, intentionality is certainly a factor that needs to be there. Tim, going back to you for a moment, I can't even imagine having a wife and two very young children. In the midst of all that, you still saw the need for social interaction with other young adults, and hence your involvement in Catholic Beer Club to continue to make that a good place of social engagement. There must be some intentionality there, and why is it so important?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, we kind of made the joke before that my daughter, Felicity, who's 2.5 now, was born in October, and 3 weeks later, she was at her first Catholic Beer Club, which was potentially a very bad idea, but it was a lot of fun. And actually, up until COVID hit and we kind of had to stop events for roughly a year, she had actually been to every single CBC that we had. And it's just something actually we really want to foster with CBC, kind of going to that for a second, is that it is a place you can bring families. It is a place for connection. But back to your question, it definitely is something that we have to choose. And it's something that we both have to make either some sacrifices for, either me leaving an event early or my wife watching both our kids now. We have a 4-month-old as well. But knowing that, like, bringing the community together and kind of fostering some of these connections, Nestor mentioned that it's so hard for people to sometimes make that initial connection and kind of have that intention to actually go out and meet new people. But once a conversation gets started, it's so much easier to keep it going. Once you kind of have a connection with someone saying, hey, we live in the same part of the city, we play the same sports, we go to the same parish, whatever it is. Once that connection's there, it's so amazing to see kind of all these different groups form, these different relationships, truly relationships in the sense of people getting engaged and people getting married, all the way to just like groups of friends or Bible studies or parishes kind of forming, or not parishes not forming around that, but parish groups kind of being built because people had never had a chance to talk with each other before. So something that we see is very important. And it's something that we choose to continue to do, and also a great way to evangelize, kind of bringing our faith, and especially, being married. I'm 28 years old, married with 2 kids, showing up to a brewery where that's not the norm. It's fun to even just kind of show that lifestyle as well as just our faith and kind of witness that we bring, 150 plus Catholics into a brewery every time we go to an event. Yeah. So it's definitely something that's worth it. And we do make some sacrifices, but we've had a ton of fun with it. Bring your kids there. People love them. The group of people that come are so great. So they're somewhat the mascots of CBC now, but it's
no, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Nestor, let me ask you, just for the sake of our listening audience, if someone were to attend a Catholic Beer Club event, what typically happens?
Sure. So apart from Tim buying your first beer, you're going to get to meet a lot of other young adults. There's opportunity to just mingle and create these new authentic relationships. As I mentioned before, I think that we hunger for a relationship with others, and in particular, authentic Christian relationship. And we hunger for a fellowship with those who are choosing to live a life of faith. And you know that when you're going to a Catholic Beer Club event, you're surrounded by a lot of like-minded people. And there's also opportunity to reach other people who happen to be at this bar or pub and just engage with them well. I think that sometimes that's the struggle is feeling like, well, I'm isolated in the world, or I'm the only one who sees the world this way in a Christian perspective. And so we, as Tim mentioned, we kind of come and take a place by storm with 150 young adults coming who are like-minded. It's like, that's quite a force coming into a brewery and creating a culture there. So that's one of those, come as you are. You can come by yourself, come invite a friend. You're going to meet people there who are going to make you feel welcome and just have a good time and drink some good beer.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Tim, only a couple seconds remaining here, but I want to leave the last word with you on how people can stay up to date with everything going on with Catholic Beer Club Twin Cities.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are kind of back in the swing of things with trying to do events. We try to do events every 3 weeks. Every 2 weeks seems like you're drinking too often. Every 4 weeks, you couldn't remember people's names. 3 weeks, I still struggle with everyone's names, but it's fun. So we try to do every 3 weeks at a different brewery around the Twin Cities. You can check out our Facebook page. So we are part of a national Catholic Beer Club group. Just look for the Twin Cities events. Also, CatholicBeerClub-TwinCities.com for all the information about the group, events, etc., as well as Instagram. We have a newsletter. You can kind of find us in a variety of different ways if you use social media, if you don't. But yeah, definitely bring people to Catholic Beer Club. Bring your friends. Come with people or bring people who are new. It should be a kind of a low bar of entry to the Catholic community, but it really gets you kind of involved fairly quickly.
Wonderful. Well, Tim Cahill, Nestor Arguello, it's really great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us, and God bless you.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you for having us again.
Once again, young adults, you can find all about Catholic Beer Club over at CatholicBeerClub-TwinCities.com. Coming up, your opportunity to meet some of your favorite Relevant Radio show hosts, help expand Relevant Radio's mission, and support local Catholic schools all in one fun-filled evening. Stay with us.
Hope restored. Hearts healed. Lives changed.
Relevant Radio.
Hello, Catalina. Welcome to Morning Air.
Yes, it was through Relevant Radio that I survived my divorce. I battled my divorce for about 3.5 years. And whenever I turned on the radio, it seemed like, you know, God was speaking through Drew. He gave me hope.
Hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. Relevant Radio.
I lost my house. I was out of town for about 6 months. Gone to the Holy Hour almost every day. God is good. God is great.
Did you pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Drew, Catalina?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I've been with Drew since he started the show.
Miracles happen. Okay. Prayers get answered with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Proclaiming the truth and beauty of the Catholic Church. We love to do that day in and day out. It's so needed, this spot of sunshine on your radio dial.
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, part of the Drew Mariani Show. 4 Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
The Christ Brings Hope Banquet comes around once a year, and it's a bountiful evening for celebrating community within our local church. This year's banquet has an incredible lineup of your favorite Relevant Radio show hosts, including Drew Mariani, Timmy Jaja, and of course, Father Rocky. With up to $300,000 available for matching funds for our local Catholic schools, it's a wonderful opportunity to enjoy fellowship while keeping Relevant Radio going strong. Joining me now to tell us more is Relevant Radio Chairman and CEO Father Rocky and Director of Development Karen Freihammer. Father Rocky, welcome.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Patrick. Thank you so much. I love listening to your Practicing Catholic show, and sometimes I even follow it on social media.
Fantastic. Well, there's a feather in the cap, if I do say so myself. Thank you, Father. And Karen, welcome to you as well. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Patrick. It's great to be with you. As you know, I was a Minnesotan for 16 years. I now live in Chicagoland, but it's so great to look forward to this event of having Twin Cities folks gather on September 15th.
I know. We're looking forward to it, and we do miss you up here, Karen, so thank you for the shout-out to Minnesota and Minnesotans as well. Yeah, very good. Well, Father, let me start with you. There might be some listeners who are unfamiliar with the Christ Brings Hope Banquet, although many of us, hopefully, are familiar. Tell us more just about what the whole event is about.
Sure. Well, it all started back in Chicago around the year 2011 when we went to visit Cardinal George and asked him if he could help us get some support for Relevant Radio. And he said, well, this is what you need to do. You need to have a dinner each year at some big hotel and give an award to somebody. And we said, okay, well, we'll do that and we'll give the award to you. And he said, okay, well, I'll accept. And we got a huge crowd. I think it was the Hilton in Chicago, Michigan Avenue. And we called it the Christ Brings Hope Award. Because just a few years previously, Pope Benedict XVI came to visit the United States. He was there in Yankee Stadium. He was at the United Nations. He was in Washington, D.C. And the theme of his pastoral visit was Christ, Our Hope. And I thought, well, that's really, I like that term. And we called our award Christ brings hope, because whenever Christ comes into our presence, he gives us hope. So it started in Chicago, and then we rolled it out through many of the major cities across America, New York City, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, Austin, Texas, and other places. But now this is the only Christ Brings Hope Award we do, a dinner we do every year in Minneapolis, because there's just a tremendous support up there. No. But it's a way for us to gather with many of our listeners and supporters in the Twin Cities. It's almost like an annual shareholders meeting, and we're tremendously blessed because every single year Archbishop Hebda comes to be at the event, and he's going to be there again this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always good to have our Chief Shepherd with us there, and he's a great supporter of Relevant Radio, even when he does a monthly session with us here on Practicing Catholic, and he is just very generous with his time toward all the great things that Relevant Radio is doing. So, and I'm glad to hear that we're continuing to do it. You said shareholders meeting, Father. I think of it kind of as a family reunion. I mean, it's great to be together with all the Relevant Radio supporters and listeners, and even some of the special show hosts, which we'll get to in just a minute. But Karen, first of all, I want to ask you, obviously the turnout, as Father has said, is very remarkable here in the Twin Cities. So what have turnouts been like? I mean, how many people are we talking here?
Right, Patrick. So we had our biggest crowd with Archbishop Hebda when we honored him. Folks just wanted to express their love and appreciation for him, and we were bursting at the seams that year with 1,000 people. Last year, after events began popping up again after COVID, we had about 700 people, and we're hoping to have, you know, that amount, possibly more this year. I would say, Patrick, what's special about the Twin Cities event is we have an anonymous donor who puts forth a $300,000 match for Catholic schools for tuition aid. So folks gather and they're able to help Relevant Radio, help us with our mission to get into more markets, to continue to evangelize, and to help Catholic schools continue their mission of evangelization. Mm-hmm. And we have that matching gift available the same evening. So I do think that bolsters our numbers, and people are just so excited to take advantage of that special opportunity.
Yeah, they certainly are. I know that's been a huge gift to me as I'm, you know, as I'm wanting to support both Relevant Radio and Catholic schools. And I would say that that's true of, I think I can safely say that's true of every soul in the room when we get to a Christ Brings Hope banquet, which is absolutely wonderful. And Karen, sticking with you for a moment now, there must be, with that number of people, 700 to 1,000 people, there must be incredible logistics that are going on behind the scenes. There must be a number of people who are involved in this, right?
Yeah, it's really a labor of love, Patrick, and we do have a planning committee of volunteers. Mary Jo Feltel and Judy Sherman are our co-chairs, along with Ann Fleming, Anita Wims, Susan Contino, lots of volunteers, and we have associates from Relevant Radio there. Just it's such a fun evening for us because we love to interact and see the listeners of Relevant Radio, those who really have stepped out and committed to this mission, and just to be able to interact with them and hear their stories. And like you said, it feels like a family reunion. So right. All together, we work together, and we feel that we have one of the best events, in all humility. finish at 9 p.m. so people can get home. It's on a weeknight, but everything with lots of prayer and that goes in beforehand seems to come out to be a smooth and very enjoyable event.
Right. It certainly is. And I suppose with that kind of a lead-in, this is a great time to say that this is, we're speaking with Father Rocky himself, as well as Karen Firehammer, Director of Development, about the Christ Brings Hope Banquet here. And it's coming up Thursday, September 15th. Social hour starts 5:45, 6 o'clock, and then we have dinner, we have a presentation, we have the opportunity to support Relevant Radio and our local Catholic schools, and the evening, as Karen just said, ends promptly at 9 p.m. Well, Father, I want to ask you, of course, you're familiar with, I'm sure, all the show hosts there who are going to be with us. You see them probably on a regular basis, and hopefully for those who listen to Relevant Radio either online or on the Relevant Radio app are familiar with some faces that occur there, but who might we have the opportunity to interact with in person at this year's Christ Brings Hope Banquet, in addition to yourself, of course?
Sure. Well, and that's what gives it the family reunion sort of atmosphere, because our listeners and our supporters are listening to us all the time. Sometimes I get the impression they think that we all live in the same house, because whenever I go out to see them, say, so how's Drew doing? How's Patrick doing? How's Timory doing? How's Father Simon? Well, we don't all live in the same house. In fact, people live in different states. But this year, we're really excited because we're going to have Father Simon there and Drew Mariani, as well as Timory. She's got the show every evening at 6 p.m., Trending with Timory, and Glenn Leverance and Paul Sadek from our Minneapolis market. And we also expect Archbishop Hebda, and I'm told that you will be there as well.
You're darn right I will. I wouldn't miss it. Yeah, absolutely. This I want to say, you know, honestly, this is, it's really a highlight of the year for me to be together. Of course, now I know my wife will tell me, she's the introvert, I'm the extrovert, so she'll tell me, well, Pat, that's because, you know, you're the extrovert and you like being around people. But it's more than that. I feel like, again, it's a family but it's a family together that's on a mission. You know, we are on a mission to bring Christ to the world through the media, right?
Yeah, and this will be our 11th year up in the Twin Cities. We've been able to honor some very good people from the community over the years. Kathy Laird, Marianne Koharski, she's from the Billboards Across America, very pro-life. Gordy DeMaray, Archbishop Hebda, Matt Burke. But last year we honored St. Joseph, and this year we are going to honor the Blessed Mother. So it's an event you don't want to miss. It's going to be on September 15th. And Karen, how can people sign up for it?
Yeah, right. So on our Relevant Radio website, relevantradio.com, there's an events tab. So you click that and you click Minnesota, and all the information is there. You can also send an email to CBH, that's Christ Brings Hope, CBH Banquet at relevantradio.com.
Well, that's pretty easy. It's one of those, just about as easy as it is to give to Relevant Radio,
yes,
right?
Patrick, I should mention, it would be good for people to, if they're thinking of going, go ahead and make that decision and register. We're encouraging people to register before Labor Day if they can. And even if they don't have all the guests for their table, if they'd like to get a table and bring some friends, maybe some people that have never heard of Relevant Radio, they'd like to introduce them to Relevant Radio, that they could get the table by Labor Day and still fill in names. They'll have some days to do that and let us know who will be at their table.
Absolutely. That would be great. And by the way, we will have a Practicing Catholic Show table at the banquet again. I'll be there, as well as Cami, our producer, and Tom, our director of communications for the Archdiocese, and other members that have supported or that do support Practicing Catholic in some way. I think our technical producer, Paul, since he's, he's got more of an affiliation with Relevant Radio as the host of Daybreak, and he's doing all sorts of things for us. So I think he's probably seated at a table a little closer to the head table. That's my guess. Right. Well, let's think about, as people are contemplating giving and supporting Relevant Radio in this way, Father, what are some of the fruits that our giving really, what kind of an effect does it have?
It has a huge effect. In fact, that's why I'm so excited about Relevant Radio and continue to be, and I've been on air now close to 20 years. I've never found anything as effective for evangelization than the radio. We do a listener survey every 2 years, and we found out very consistently 20% of the people respond say that something they heard on the air moved them to come back to Sunday Mass, or 43% and said it moved them to go back to confession. And 84% said something they heard on air moved them to pray more. And this is hugely impactful, hugely effective. So the funds that are raised that evening, it's sort of a two to one payoff, because half of it goes to support the Catholic schools of your choice in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. And the other half goes for Relevant Radio, not only in the market for Minneapolis, St. Paul, but to help us to expand into new markets. This past year, we went into Baltimore and Seattle. A few years ago, we went into 14 other cities, and we want to continue that pace. So it's marvelously effective. We do need everybody's support. We're very blessed that we have 4 bishops on our board and 25 bishops and cardinals on our Episcopal Advisory Council. So this is something that is greatly supported and promoted by the church. But the church is everyone. It's not just the priests and the religious and the bishops, but we need everybody to do their part.
Mm-hmm. Karen, let me turn to you with a similar question as Director of Development. How effective are these banquets at furthering the mission of Relevant Radio?
Well, you know what? I think one way they are so effective is with the individual person who decides to make a gift that evening. I think the joy they experience in being part of something that's really helping to build a new culture of life, of hope, of joy through the media, right? So the joy donors have in making an impact through the media, influencing people to overcome evil by doing good, right? Sowing seeds of joy and hope in the world that we desperately need. So I think just affording, giving that opportunity for those that are gathered to partner with Relevant Radio, that deepens that family bond that you talked about. We're in this together to make a difference in the world. And I think people also, they hear from Father Rocky, the impact, the developments, the new things that are happening in Relevant Radio. So they feel very much in the know of where the ministry is going and of new developments. And that's I think that's good stewardship. People appreciate knowing how their money is making a difference in the world.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's a great description of it as well. Father, let me turn back to you too, people are, you know, contemplating, maybe even right now, they're thinking, should I go to this event? What would you say to encourage someone to come at this time?
Well, if you want to increase in joy and happiness, this is the thing to do, because at the end of these banquets, Patrick, people don't leave. And that's kind of one of the hallmarks of a Relevant Radio event. It really is like a family reunion. And the people up in St. Paul, Minneapolis are very sociable. COVID has been hard on all of us. So it's wonderful to get out and be with people. And we'll be able to pray together. We'll be able to sing together. We'll be able to dine together and have a glass of wine together with each other. It's just a beautiful night. And we'll be able to honor our Blessed Mother that night at the Christ Brings Hope banquet. So I think that's one of the reasons why people really love doing these things. I know I enjoy it. It gives me a tremendous amount of energy. And I'm so proud of our team, everybody on our team, you, Patrick, and Karen, and then our show hosts and the people on our board and the people in the background that make this happen. So it's, really, I think one of the, if not the best event of the year in the whole Twin Cities area. I don't know anything better.
There you go. Yep, that's about right. Only about a minute remaining here. So, Karen, why don't you give us the details one more time? If people want to sign up, how may they do so?
Right. So just make that decision. Yeah, I'm going. And go to relevantradio.com. Look for the events tab. And if you want to bring some friends, you're welcome to get a table. We encourage you to do that before Labor Day. You can also send an email to CBH, Christ Brings Hope, CBH Banquet at relevantradio.com.
Very good. And Father, before we let you go, of course, wondering if you would be willing to give us all your blessing, please.
We'll be happy to. Certainly, through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, St. Jose Maria, St. Michael the Archangel, and St. Joseph, may your travels be safe. May the Lord's angel protect you, and may you greet the Lord along the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, Karen Fryhammer and Father Rocky, we are so grateful that you've taken the time to join us here on Practicing Catholic. Of course, we're grateful for Relevant Radio. That is, that, well, maybe goes without saying, but we want to say it, that we are grateful. So thank you. Thank you both for all that you do, and thank you for joining us today on the show. God bless you both.
God bless you. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. And we appreciate all you do through the Practicing Catholic.
Thank you, Karen. Well, I want to just say that I would love to see you there. I would love to see you at the Christ Brings Hope Banquet. I think, obviously, Relevant Radio is well worth supporting for all the reasons Father Rocky and Karen just told us, that it is an instrumental part of bringing Christ to the world through the media. And that's exactly what we should be about, is bringing Christ to the world, right? That's why we share in His very nature so that we can continue His very mission. I would love to see you at this year's Christ Brings Hope Banquet. So it's always a great opportunity, as we've said, to connect with other Catholics in our local church, to support our local Catholic schools, and to help Relevant Radio bring Christ to the world through the media. To register, go to relevantradio.com under the Events tab and click on Minnesota. Well, stick around. There are even more opportunities for camaraderie coming up within our local church. Stay with us.
lead young people to understand that this relationship with Christ is first and foremost a commitment. He has made promises in Scripture to be with you always. The question is, are we going to reciprocate that commitment by showing up to prayer? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment by being faithful to the Eucharist? Are we going to reciprocate that commitment that God has made to us through regular reception of reconciliation when we fall, and trusting in God's love as a reality and not just an emotion? You know, most of them create their worldview based on what they feel. They need people involved in their lives who can mentor them and disciple them in that, because it is going to be probably the greatest challenge for them, is to break out of the mold of the world, which says, if it feels right, do it. And they apply that same principle to the faith. And when it doesn't feel good, they don't do it. And that's just not what is going to help move them forward on a faith journey.
Relevant Radio, helping you guide your family with Talk Radio for Catholic Life.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. You know, I'm really excited about the Christ Brings Hope Banquet. I'm hoping that all of our listeners are as well.
But, it'll be a good one.
I know. And plus, the whole of the Practicing Catholic team, so Cami Berthoum, Paul Sadek, and Tom Holden, our Director of Communications, we're all planning
we'll
on being
there. We'll all be there.
That's right. That's not to scare anybody out, okay, or scare anybody off. In fact, I hope that's a little bit of an incentive to come. But
Patrick,
you know,
will be offering autographs. So
yeah, I'll line up right behind Drew and yeah, Timmery, and I'm sure the people will be flooding my table. Yeah.
Of course.
Well, anyway. Well, folks, you know that you can listen to and should listen to Practicing Catholic Show on Relevant Radio. But you can also, if you miss a show, if you miss an interview and you want to go back and listen to it, or if you want to refer it on to somebody else, PracticingCatholicShow.com is the place to go. Check us out on social media as well. And then also, you want to go to our podcasted interviews as well on your favorite podcast platform. Coming up on September 13th, we've got a spiritual exercises retreat, and it's ongoing for 9 months. It's located there at St. Thomas More, right there in St. Paul. The spiritual exercises, of course, are a compilation of meditations, prayer, and contemplative practices developed by St. Ignatius of Loyola to help develop one's relationship with God. Virtual and in-person options are available for the spiritual exercises retreat. Check it out online, archspm.org/events.
And while you're at it, check out St. Paul Discipleship Formation Day. It's a day for volunteers, volunteer catechists, core team, small group leaders, and parents, from 9 to 5 at the Net Center in St. Paul. It's an opportunity to come together to learn how to best serve our parishes.
And also coming up soon here, September 20th at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center, we're having the Andrew Dinner. So it's an opportunity for men ages 16 and older to have dinner with Archbishop Hebda and Father David Bloom, the Director of Vocations over at the seminary.
You said 16, right? Not 60.
16, 1-6. Yes.
Okay, just good checking.
Good to clarify.
Yes, all right.
Yeah, and the evening includes prayer, a meal, conversations about the priesthood and religious life, and of course, again, the Archbishop and Father David Bloom will be there to answer your questions about the priesthood.
Yeah, September 20th. I'm impressed with when I was impressed with when I worked in the Archdiocese, specifically for a parish in the Archdiocese, on how many people, as I conversed with some of our seminarians, and you know, it's happened since then, and here on the show when we're talking to some of our seminarians. How did you first get involved with pursuing a vocation to the priesthood?
It was the Andrew Dinner.
I mean, that played a significant role. Even if it wasn't the first thing, it played a significant role. It's not saying that you're not signing your life away at this. This is just a come and see type of thing.
Just even if you're remotely curious, it sounds like you can go and check it out and hang out with like-minded men.
That's right. Yeah. And I would highly encourage other men to do that. And they do this for women, too. This one isn't for men, but there's a Miriam Dinner for women. That's it. Miriam Dinner.
Yep.
Right. That's coming up as well. Well, we got a whole bunch of things coming up. And you know where to go, folks. archspm.org/events. I'm excited about Immaculée Ilibagiza, who's coming, the Rwandan-American author and speaker. She's coming to Shakopee on September 22nd. Michaelmas Vespers and Eucharistic Procession is also coming up on September the 25th. And Being Equipped for Life, that's also coming up on October 1st. We are so grateful that you listen to Practicing Catholic. Please continue to do so. Thank you for joining us this time. I hope it's been edifying. edifying for you, and pass it on the word to other listeners as well. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.